Well, thank you. That was enthusiastic compared to the crowds I'm used to. My name is Mark Rhodes, and welcome to SES 202, Configuring Your SharePoint 2013 Farm for Apps. Before we get started, just a quick poll of the audience. How many of you are developers in this room? And how many are IT pros? Well, there's a few who raised both hands, right, and a few sitting next to each other. That's a bit worrying. As I mentioned, my name is Mark Rhodes. I'm going to flash up these contact details again at the end. If you have any questions, please feel free to email me on the address here, contact me via my blog, or follow me on Facebook or Twitter. Now, a word of warning, in this session, we will not be talking about app dev. Sorry to disappoint you. I'm not a developer. Yeah, if you're going to, I understand. I'm not a developer, so I'm not really educated enough to talk about developing for apps. But what I can take you through is how to configure your server and your farm for SharePoint 2013 so you can run apps on them. So before we get started on that, let's talk about why apps. And I'm going to go through each of the options here, taking you through full trust solutions, sandbox solutions, and then onto the app model. So why not full trust solutions? Well, as a pros, these are very, very flexible, very, very customizable, and they're easy and very well known at this point. The cons of this are we have some performance and stability concerns. Let's say, not that anyone in this room would do this, but back in Australia, there's tons of these guys. You know, bad developers put something together that's going to chew up resources on my server. I'm going to deploy this to my server, and all of a sudden, it's brought to its knees. Now, if I've got multiple departments running on that one server or one farm, then in theory, I can, you know, run low on resources, and you know, other sites and services can be affected by that one bit of dodgy code. Those might include memory leaks or custom code issues. It doesn't matter what it is. There was also an element of added complexity by adding solutions onto the farm. You know, someone has to know what those solutions are and manage them, and lifecycle management became a bit of an issue. And of course, solutions just aren't going to work on a hosted platform. And a good example of that might be Office 365. So obviously you can't deploy your solutions to Office 365. Why not sandbox solutions? Well, they had a few pros, and when these first came out, myself and other IT pros thought this was a great idea. Finally, we've got something to isolate code so that if a developer's written something, we can control its resource usage, we can make sure it's not going to impact other sites on the server. And this meant, of course, that these will work on hosted environments, and they'll work on premises as well. The downside of this is we've got limited functionality. These can be difficult to administer as, you know, another bit of learning to go through for your IT pros. And administrators are going to get lumped with that extra bit of work. And there's no real benefit to end users by going to this model, right? This is not a model they're familiar with, so there's not going to be a decreased learning curve for them. So enter the app model. The app model is quite flexible, and we see benefits to everyone. So as an IT pro, we can make sure the code execution can be off the server, meaning that the servers and farms won't be affected by execution of apps. As a developer, this allows utilization of familiar development models, not just constrained to SharePoint dev. You can use skill sets that might be more applicable to a traditional web developer. And to an end user, they're going to be very familiar with the App Store model, making it very easy to understand and adopt. Right? Almost every consumer is going to have a mobile device, and on that mobile device, they're going to have a concept of an App Store. So straight away, coming into SharePoint, they're going to understand the concept of, you know, purchasing, buying, installing apps. And also, we have benefits of lifecycle management now, so you can, you know, manage the lifecycle of the app through the actual store if you want to. And the code execution, as I said, is going to be off the server. So we have a few flavors of the app model. The first one at the top here is provider hosted. So this will be hosted by a provider or a developer in a dedicated server or on a hosting server. And it could be in completely separate hardware. It could be out on the cloud. Where it is doesn't really matter to us as long as it's accessible to us. It gives huge flexibility, but requires a bit more responsibility. For instance, if you're going to use a provider-hosted app, then you have to trust the developer that's providing this app to you. We can use site elements such as lists, files, and web parts, and this allows any platform and programming language. We also have the auto-hosted model. Sorry about that. We also have the auto-hosted model. This includes SQL Azure and Azure website. It's automatically provisioned to a user when the app's actually installed. And you can have SharePoint components stored in an optional app web. All the processing, again, is done off the server. And you can still use elements such as lists, files, and web parts. Now, currently, auto-hosting is for Office 365 only, so it's not really applicable at this point for us if we're talking about on-premises. And finally, we have SharePoint hosted. So in SharePoint hosted, there are no external components, and all components are contained within an app web on the SharePoint farm. And in the SharePoint hosted model, we can use HTML and JavaScript. In this session, we're going to focus on SharePoint hosted apps, as I'm going to show you how to set up your SharePoint server appropriately for apps. The app's architecture is fairly simple in this regard. So we have a host web. This is the site to which an app is actually going to be installed, and we have an app web. The SharePoint components are deployed to a special subweb of a host web. The app web is a new kind of site definition, and end users cannot manipulate the app web with a browser or with SharePoint Designer. The app web is designed to protect the farm and users from any malicious code, effectively isolating it from the rest of the farm. And it does that. As you'd expect, as we're isolated, we're going to have an a specific URL for each application. And this is the breakdown of how that works. First off, on the right, we have the app prefix. Now, the app prefix is configurable by administrators of the system. So it could be app, it could be something else if you wanted it to be. We have the app ID. This is a randomly generated ID that is generated when the app is created, followed by the app domain, again, configurable by the administrator of the system. Following that, we've got the host web. So the host web, and that's a relative URL of the parent host web. In this case, we have site/presentations. And finally, we have the app name, which is just for this demonstration, POL. And this is the format every app is going to take when you're accessing it inside SharePoint. A few points on SharePoint app authentication. First off is there's no Kerberos support for apps on premises. Seeing each app runs in its own isolated domain, as we saw from the huge URL that came through, for Kerberos to work, we'd need to configure every single SPN for every single app, which is probably just not feasible. Right? We can't predict what the app ID is going to be, so we can't go through and create that subdomain. So even with Kerberos enabled for your web application, SharePoint apps rely on falling back to NTLM. And the second point is that SharePoint hosted apps do not support SAML. So currently, SharePoint hosted apps will not be redirected correctly when using SAML authentication. Now, that's because identity providers, including ADFS 2.0, do not support wildcards for the return URL. So the way those identity providers work is they push you back to a return URL, right, when you've got your token, and that just doesn't work with a wildcard currently. So this would actually be needed due to the isolated domain model implemented for SharePoint hosted apps. However, Azure hosted or provided hoster apps will still work when SharePoint's configured to use SAML auth, but there's a bit of configuration required. And finally, this is something that you as an IT pro might need to be aware of, and that's that cloud hosted apps don't work out of the box, as in those outside of SharePoint. So the reason why they won't work is they need to be able to call into SharePoint to request data, and currently there's no trust established between your on-premises farm and wherever you're calling from. So before these will actually work, you need to go through and do some configuration to grant a trust. Now that trust in SharePoint 2013 is done with OAuth, and that enables users to grant a third-party site access to information that is stored with another service provider. In this case, we're talking about SharePoint. Without showing their username, password, and without showing the data they have inside of SharePoint. At a high level, that may look like something like the following. A user might sign into SharePoint 2013 and be authenticated. The user will then go to a cloud-hosted app which uses the SharePoint client object model or REST endpoints to make calls to SharePoint. The app will then be granted permission by the user to access SharePoint resources on behalf of the user. When the app launches, it loads from another location and then makes a call back to SharePoint to access the resources on behalf of the user by using an access token. Before you can actually use it, you will need either to configure SharePoint for low trust apps or high trust apps. Now, in this session, we're not going to go through that. There are some very good articles out there that can take you through that. But to go through them very quickly, so low trust apps are those that use an authentication provider to act as a common authentication broker or trust broker between SharePoint and the app. And in this case, it'll probably take the form of Windows Azure Active Directory Access Control Services, and as such will require Windows Azure ID, Windows Azure subscription or an Office 365 subscription. We also can configure SharePoint for high trust apps, and high trust apps are those where you are not using ACS as the trust broker. Instead, you're using a certificate to establish a trust and generating your own access tokens by using server-to-server security token service that's part of SharePoint 2013. This type of trust is known as a server-to-server trust relationship and is between the server farm and the app. Therefore, it must be done for each high trust app that uses different certificates, which a SharePoint farm must trust. And again, high trust does not mean full trust. A high trust app must still request app permissions to function. The app is considered high trust because it is trusted to use any identity that the app needs, because the app is responsible for creating the user portions of the access token. Okay, now we're going to move on to the actual configuration. At a high level, there are a few things we need to go through and do, and the first of which is, because of that unique URL we saw for each app, we're going to need to go through and make some DNS changes. Additions to DNS, not changes. Now, if you're inside an organization, there's a good chance you're not going to be able to do this yourself, even though I'm going to demonstrate it to you, but you'll need to go to your IT team and beg, bribe, whatever you need to do to make them make those changes for you. After that, we're going to set up a subscription service application and set up an apps service application. So the reason why we're going to do this is, first off, with the DNS, a wildcard DNS entry is going to be required, and there can be considered a number of problems with this. For instance, there's not going to be no way to determine the app ID prior to the actual provision of the app, and without that, we'd require new entries in DNS for every single app that was created. Now, again, that's just not feasible to go through and create that many entries in DNS, so we use a wildcard app, which scales quite well. We're going to, as I said, provision a subscription setting service application, and historically this was used for multi-tenancy on SharePoint. However, with 2013, this is going to be a prerequisite with implementing apps, as it's going to be used to generate and track app IDs. And without this service application, app IDs can't actually be generated. And finally, we have the app management service application, which is going to hold all of our licensing information. And the app management service application database will be accessed every time an app is used, and this will verify the request and allow all the licensing to go through. There is a bit of a gotcha in that both of those apps, service applications, must be in the same proxy group to function, otherwise your app's infrastructure won't work. Okay. All right. Currently, I'm on my Active Directory domain controller in my demo environment. Now, as I mentioned, if you're on a production environment, you probably wouldn't go through these steps. You'd probably ask an administrator to do it for you, but we'll go through it quickly. The first thing we're going to do is open up DNS Management Console here. We're going to expand out forward lookup zones and create a new zone. I'm just going to click Next. We'll create a primary zone, and we'll replicate to all DNS servers running on this domain. And I'm going to call it Contoso contoso-apps.com. I'll click Next, and click Next, and click Finish. Now that's how simple it is to create the zone. Now we've created that, we're also going to create a wildcard alias entry in here. So I'll right-click on the zone and go New Alias. And as I said, it's going to be a wildcard alias so that any app ID can be used with the Contoso apps domain. And I'm going to make it direct to the fully qualified domain name, contoso.com. So if you look, I'm creating an alias here for wildcard that's going to contoso.com. And if I expand out the contoso.com domain, you can see I've got an A record here for 10.13.1.127. That's the record that's going to be used by that alias I just created. So that is how simple creating the DNS is. There is another way you can do this, and I'm showing you what I think is the best way to do this, as it will isolate all your apps to their own domain. You can actually do it as a subdomain if you want of your whatever main domain you're using. However, it's not as secure. I won't go into that on this session. Okay, now that's done, we're going to have to do a few things here. We're going to determine an app domain. Now, one app domain is used per farm, and once configured in DNS, it is configured in the app settings for the farm. So in that example, we use contoso-apps as the app domain. When choosing the app domain for each farm, you've got two options. You can create a new unique domain to host your SharePoint-hosted apps, or you can create a subdomain of the existing domain. And as I said, the recommendation is to create a new unique domain, such as contoso-apps.com, rather than a subdomain such as apps.contoso.com, because use of the subdomain could lead to attacks on other non-SharePoint-based web applications in the same domain namespace. So the recommendation there is to use your own new unique domain. There is also a recommendation that you use Wildcard SSL to protect your apps. Is anyone here using SSL to protect their intranet currently? Just a few people? Right, in those situations, I'd recommend that you go ahead and configure apps so it's running on a Wildcard SSL certificate as well. If you're not running SSL, you're really not going to get any benefit from running apps as SSL. But you should probably move to SSL anyway. On the farm side of things, we need to create a few service applications. We need to start up a couple of service instances and create an app catalog site and then go through and configure all the app settings. One of the tasks, and that's creating a subscription settings service application, can only be done with PowerShell. So I'm going to do that quickly in PowerShell. I could create the rest of them in PowerShell as well. However, for ease of demonstration purposes, I'm going to go and do it through the GUI for you. Okay, going back to my demo environment, I'm just going to swap over quickly to my SharePoint server. All right, you can see I'm in central administration, and the first thing I'm going to do is go into service applications. And when that loads, I'll be able to go through and create a new service application. In this case, I'm going to go and create the app management service. Now, you'll notice there's no subscription setting service listed here, so I am going to have to go through and create that one in PowerShell. We'll start off with the app management service. I'm just giving it a database name of app management, and I'm going to use an existing application pool that I have in my farm called service applications. And I'm going to make sure that there is a proxy created and it's added to the default proxy group. All right. While that's going ahead, I'm going to, I've got all this pre-canned ready to go to create the subscription setting service application. So I'm going to take that script and dump it into PowerShell. Okay, so to take you through that quickly, I've looked for a service. I've looked for a service application pool called Service Applications. Then I've created a new subscription setting service application with the name of Subscription Setting Service and the database name of Subscription Setting Service DB. Then I've gone through and created a service application proxy for that service application, and then finally I have found and started the service instance, or that's where you can see services on server in central administration. So the Microsoft SharePoint Foundation subscription setting service. It wasn't started, so I've started it up, which is all we really need to do in PowerShell for this. And now we can go back to central admin to do the rest. If anyone's interested, by the way, you can feel free to email me and I'll send through a script that will set up all of this for you in PowerShell rather than going through and doing it in the GUI. Okay, now that's done. We are going to go over to the apps section of Central Admin. You can see there's a whole section dedicated to this. And we're going to go through and configure the app URLs for the server. For the app domain, it is going to be toso-apps.com, and I'm going to leave the app prefix just as app for app. All right, the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go to manage app catalog, because I've actually skipped ahead just a little bit here. Actually, I'm going to swap back over and then come back to this. Sorry about that. Okay, so what is the SharePoint 2013 app catalog? It's a SharePoint 2013 site collection. One exists per SharePoint 2013 web application, and this allows administrators control over app requests and SharePoint store settings. And this functionality is going to be essential for any administrator wanting to have control over their environment. To add or request an app, app permissions are going to be required. Users need to have full control on your SharePoint site to add or request an app. Now, farm administrators can determine whether or not users can purchase app from the SharePoint store, and they do that inside the app catalog. This setting is going to be at the web application scope. If users cannot purchase apps for any reason, they can still actually browse the store and request an app if they have the permissions we mentioned earlier. Farm administrators and the app catalog site owner can then view and respond to those app requests to approve or reject apps. And it gives also some control over the licensing. So we're going to switch back over to the demo environment. And we're going to go through creating an app catalog. All right, so I got to this area by just in the apps section. If I go to manage app catalog under app management, and I'm going to create a new app catalog site. Now I realize at this point it looks quite similar to creating just a new site collection. However, if you try to create a site collection with this template, you won't be able to. So this is the only way to go through and do it. So we'll just call this app management. And I'm going to call it /sites/appcat. And I'll make sure the username is my administrative account. And under users and groups, I'm just going to put in all users. And those are users that will be able to see apps from the app catalog. And I'm going to click OK. That won't take long to go through. Okay, so I'm going to flick over quickly to my SharePoint site. As you can see, it's a very, very basic, just out of the box team site with no customization done to it currently. And as soon as this is finished working on it, I'll be able to go through and try to add an app and just make sure everything's working properly. Is anyone else sick of seeing this too? While we're waiting, do we have any questions? And keep in mind that I've got a few giveaways up here. So first off, we've got this contraption. I think it's a remote-controlled robot with it shoots stuff. So if I get some good questions, whoever has the best question is going to get that one. And has anyone here ever been to one of the New Zealand SharePoint conferences? Yeah. Well, we've got a free ticket for the 2014 conference. Yeah, I had to do a double take. There's two things on here, but that's okay. So if we get some good questions, we're going to give away both of these. So any questions? Yes.
Being everything is classed as apps in SharePoint 2013, that incorporates lists and hierarchy.
That's correct. So the question was, everything's classed as an app in SharePoint 2013. Does that include lists and libraries? And yes, it does. But there's a follow-up.
If that's the case, do you have to do all this to add a list and
library? Do you have a 2013 environment currently? Tried testing it out on a demo environment or anything like that? No, you don't have to go through all of that. Otherwise, I'm sure that there'd be a lot more noise. So, no, you can still do all of the standard stuff that was there without having this set up.
It's just custom.
That's right, yep. Okay, so I think that's a several part question, so let me just make sure I've got it right first. So the first one was, did I have to create a new zone in DNS? And could I have used the existing zone? So I didn't have to create a new zone in DNS strictly, but that is currently, I hate using the word best practice, but that's, I think, the guidance that's currently on TechNet is to use your own subdomain, sorry, your own domain. You could use a subdomain, so let's say, in this case, contoso.com. I could use apps.contoso.com if I wanted to. However, as I understand it, there are ways that you could, in theory, load malicious code into the app, into your app's domain that could actually do a cross-site scripting attack and attack any other sites running on the same domain. Right. So the guidance there is to use, you know, a completely different domain to avoid that kind of attack. Yes, he will be prompted for security because you're changing realms at that point. So, and as I mentioned earlier, Kerberos does not work on that, so it will prompt for authentication unless... Yeah. I don't have a good answer to that. I might have to have a think about that and get back to you.
Yeah.
Any other questions before we... Yes. Every web application has to have its own, yes. I knew someone was going to ask this, and I thought I should look it up beforehand, but I didn't. So I'm going from memory a few weeks ago, but there's now guidance on TechNet on how to get around that particular problem, I believe.
So,
yeah, I believe so, and I think you can also get around it by using a routing web application, so it's just a web application that sits there to route those requests accordingly. Yeah, but if you want to drop me an email, I'd be happy to look into that and get back to you. Yes?
How much smarts are there in the app store for, you know, approving and declining? Is it as simple as that? Like, can you add a workflow and say, oh, I approve it, and then it goes on to the people who manage the licensing?
That's an excellent question. I think we should move on to the next demo.
Okay.
And I'll give these prizes out when I get to the end. I'll remember what I think were the better questions. So. That's not to say they're not all excellent questions. Okay, now that's actually come up. So I have an app catalog there. Now I can go back to my site and try to add an app. So I do that by clicking on the little cog and going add an app. Okay, and for the purpose of this demo, I'm not going to bother with any of the out of the box stuff. I'm going to go over to SharePoint Store. Okay, and you can see all the apps I can load in here. Now I'm going to go in and load this locations mapper app. And you can see at this point, because I'm an administrator and I've got everything wide open, I can just click edit. Ooh, demo fail. I've got a pretty good idea what that was. A bit earlier, you might have seen me pause on the service applications. I don't think it created the service application proxy for the app management service. Yeah, I'd say that's what it is. Oh, actually, I have a good idea what else it could be in that I've forgotten to do something. I forgot to actually start the app management service as well. It's not automatic, no. You need to start that up. And I should have mentioned that I think I just skipped a step in my demo scripts. All right, let's go back and see if we can do that now. This is not good. now, these things happen, so I'll just take a minute to try and get this all working. This would be an excellent point to pitch my troubleshooting session this afternoon. I'm just going to quickly make sure I've done everything. I haven't had to in the past. But we'll see. If I'm just going to quickly delete and recreate the app management service and see if that does it. So, what we might do is might skip back to the slide deck while that's creating and come back and hopefully it's all working. Okay, so while we're on the topic, mixed topic and subject together, you asked a question which was, can you approve, reject apps? What's the workflow like and what's the smarts involved? The answer is yes, you can set apps up so that as administrator you can say no, if users want to add apps, I have to go through and do that for them. And it's very, very simple. If they, instead of getting an edit button, they're going to get a request it button. And when they click on request it, under a little requests area in Central Admin, you're going to see the apps coming up and then you can go through and approve them. Once they've been approved, though, it doesn't automatically go through and actually add that app for you. You have to go, as an administrator, click on the link provided and add it into the farm. And from there, the users will be able to add it. And if we get to it, that's the latter part of one of my demos. Just bear with me a second. I'm just doing an IIS reset on that server just to see if that has any effect. I'd suggest using the opportunity to think up some good questions for those prizes. Okay, it's just coming back to life now. While we're waiting, did anyone have any questions? Yes.
I'm not sure if this will be good later when we're going through this, but what would happen if our grant, as an administrator, grant the whoever requested the app to add the app and the person used the app for whatever reason, and then as an administrator, we revoke that right? What would be the, is that possible and what would be the rules of, say, save data?
Yes, you can definitely go through and do that. And there's really two parts to that. So if you wanted to revoke a specific app for a specific user, no worries there. You could revoke a license, or you could actually just uninstall that specific app. Or there are PowerShell scripts that can go through the entire farm and remove all instances of an app. So it's completely removed from your system. Let's say you thought it was a security risk, or I don't know, it was a game people were wasting time on or something like that. Good question. I might have to get back to you on that one. I'm not sure. I assume that all the data is going to be wiped out. It's a really good question. I might see if there's a few intelligent gentlemen down the front. Did any of you didn't catch the question? What would happen to let's say you added an app to the farm? Remove the app from the farm. What would happen to the data that was any data that was related to the app?
It's in that, it's yet to remove.
Yep, and that's pretty much it. I actually don't know, to tell you the truth. How much damage could an app do in theory?
There's a long list of what they check, and they actually publish on that app store. Basically, they grant the app full control of the whole web, but those apps are not allowed in the office, the Microsoft share and so on. So that's a strict set of rules.
How robust is the app store with
Yeah, the question was regarding app lifecycle management. I hate saying this, but I don't know the answer to that question either. So.
There's good hooks for the developer or the publisher of the app, you know, like a proper upgrade. But it's up to the publisher to make it when they bring the name. It's a good hook to upgrade the app, at least in the app, whatever. They can see an upgrade on which version. So that's a pretty good story.
All right, unfortunately, my demo environment has completely cocked it, so I'm terribly sorry about that. These things happen. Sorry? It's typical SharePoint. I've had a quick look in the logs. I'm not getting anything terribly helpful at the moment, so I'm going to move on from that. We'll just go through the slide deck, and I'll try to explain what you would have seen if the demo was working. But I've taken you through the steps that were really important there, and every other time I've run them, they work perfectly, except for a week ago when my demo environment fell apart exactly the same way. So anyway. So adding and removing apps. We can add and remove apps from a few sources. So one of those is a list of the apps already available on the site, from the app catalog. So it's a specific subheading under apps there, and also from the SharePoint store. Now, site owners can add apps for SharePoint from the following sources. So any lists, so default apps such as standard lists, libraries, any apps that have already been purchased. And finally, apps can actually be installed by PowerShell as well when packaged appropriately. Removing apps is pretty much the reversal of adding an app. So you go into the app and click remove instead of click add. Now, users can remove these themselves from the apps area if they want to, or administrators can remove them from PowerShell. Now, if you wanted to remove every instance of app from a particular farm, you could do it this way. So you could first locate them and then remove them all using PowerShell, or you could use this nice script that's available from TechNet to go through and remove all instances for you. Okay. Let me just see what would work here. So what I might do is I might flick over so I can try and show you where the app requests would come in if a user tried to request it. So okay, so I'm just going to flick over to another server where I'm logged in as another user. Sorry, one button. Okay, and I'm going to go through and try to add an app, but you'll see straight away I don't even have the option to add an app in. That's because this user only has contribute rights on this site. So what I'll do quickly is flick back and add him into full control. Okay, now that's done, I should be able to go back over to the other site, refresh, and be able to add an app. Right, so you can see that's now lit up. Now, if I flick back over here, I can go over to SharePoint Store. But what I wanted to show you is that, once this is finished loading, so I'll just pick any one of these. And you can see Edit's currently grayed out, so only site administrators can add, can give access to this app. If we go back down to this one here, you can see that's, you know, depending on the app permissions, different users may or may not be able to install the apps. So this one I can install. I'm not going to click Add because I don't want to show you an error message. However, I will flick back over to the other server, and we're going to lock down control of the apps just a little bit. So if we go over to the apps section, we'll go configure store settings. And I'm going to change this setting. Should end users be able to get apps from the SharePoint store to no? Okay, now if I flick back over and do a refresh, hopefully that setting will have propagated through. And you can see that's changed to requested. So if I click on requested, and I'll just say I'm going to request it for everyone in my organization, so unlimited licenses. Okay, and you can see it's showing up in apps I've requested. Now, as an administrator, if I'm in here, if I go to configure store settings, I can see I've got a button here called click here to view app requests. Okay, and if I have permission, you'll see this little edit box show up here. I can click on that to take a look. And the first thing I might do is go and view the app details, which will open up another window. And you can see we've John Citizen has requested an app called My Locations. Now, if I wanted to, I could click Edit, and that would go through and add it onto the catalog for me. But in this case, because it's not working, I'm going to say Declined. And if I jump back over to this account here, do a quick refresh. Now that app's come through as declined. Right, if I'd wanted to and everything was working perfectly, I could have gone through and added it in there. And then while that would say approved, we'd still have to go in and add it from the app catalog into where we want to on the site. Right, does that all make sense? No, once the administrator clicks on Edit in that mode, it'll be added to the catalog of the site, and then anyone who has permission to can then add it to the site from there. Okay, and we're going to go through backup and restore very quickly. So for anyone who is running SharePoint 2010 or SharePoint 2013, you're probably going to have a backup and restore strategy in place. This really isn't going to add much to it. As you know, with SharePoint, there are going to be multiple scopes to backing up anything. So to back up apps, we need to pretty much back up our content, databases or site collections, our configuration database, our secure store service application, and the app management service application. Now, in the event that we need to recover from a failure, all of those databases will be restored. If you have to eventually restore those databases, you really need to restore to the same version of the databases that you backed up. So don't try restoring databases that are, say, 6 months apart or 2 months apart or something like that. Moving on to licensing. A farm administrator or a license manager, so you can actually specify license managers within central administration, can check the licenses for all apps for SharePoint on the app licenses page. And this allows you to track the number of licenses that have been assigned, that are available, etc., to your organization. And the manage app license page gives you detailed information on this and allows licensing managers to go through and make changes accordingly. And the management functions there, quite simple, so we can add users to a license, we can purchase licenses, we can remove licenses from users, we can recover licenses aren't in use, and we can manage the license managers. All right. Now, I just skipped over the last bit of the demo there because we really covered it off a bit ahead of time. But what we've learned in this session is how SharePoint 2013 apps work and how to configure them on your environment, how to go through making the DNS changes, setting up the subscription setting service application, setting up the app management service application, and setting up the app domain and app prefix, and then finally how to manage and license apps. Do we have any more questions? Yes?
Can you restrict for a specific SharePoint group or anything like that?
Sorry, I missed that one. Yeah, you can trim apps just the way you would any other object inside SharePoint.
In case there is some performance issue into the file, can you monitor individual apps just to see which one is causing the issue?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yep, so there's a Monitor Apps page within Central Administration that's going to give you some of that information. Sorry, yes?
Can I stick with the standard efforts if I'm not posting my application and my widget in any apps?
Sorry, can you repeat that? I'm not sure I understand the question, I'm sorry.
I mean, we are developing apps to host in the App Store. That's what I understand. We can't run any C# code or anything. It's only HTML and JavaScript content.
Oh, for SharePoint hosted apps?
Yeah.
Yep, that's correct. Yeah.
Even, I mean, any apps, if it's not a web part.
I'd probably forward you on to a developer for that question. You comfortable answering that one?
Yeah.
Any other questions? Yes?
Just with regards to multiple Apple licensing, is there some way of doing it or getting access to a consolidated report that shows, you know, usage licenses, et cetera, across?
The managed licenses area kind of does that to a degree, but it's probably not to the granularity you're looking for there. But it'll give you an idea of how many licenses are in use and how many aren't in use. Does that make sense? I can't say for certain because I haven't tried. So, yes.
You're saying that there's no support for SAML or Codebus. So does that mean that the user goes into this and they're going to have to provide credentials every time?
I think it depends on the way. Answered your question? Yep. Any others? Yes?
These are they like, they're not something like you get on your device and you can use it. Is that something what this allows you to do? You know, you get on a device, you can install the app and say, okay, this is how I'm doing the app with the SharePoint. That's not what it is, but does it?
I'm not sure I understand the question. Yes, definitely. Yep. Yes, right down the back.
You mentioned that like the admin entity for control on the site. Can you actually set up a role and just run the
system? I think that I put in full control, but there's a listing on TechNet that say exactly the permissions you require for that to work. It's I'm pretty sure owner is one of them, but I'd have to check that for you. I'd be happy to check it out later and get back to you. So, could you give me an example of what you mean? Well, you could definitely embed an app inside a page. So, you know, think of it like a list might be an app, right? So you can force, as you say, a list onto someone by embedding it in the page you're looking at. So does that answer your question? Yeah. Yes.
Where would you suggest these services?
From what I've seen, not terribly resource intensive. However, the usage that I've seen with most of my clients has been pretty slim. So until I see a heavy app user, I won't know for certain. Where would I suggest putting it? On, you know, if you've got a set of servers or a tier, you know, dedicated applications, service applications, I'd put the service applications there. The only thing you need to be aware of is when I created those DNS entries, so you saw I created a wildcard entry pointing to the A record, essentially, sorry, an alias to an A record, you've got to make sure that A record is, you know, pointing to, say, if you've got multiple front ends, to a load balanced address or something like that. So there we go. Victor's got a session tomorrow morning that covers this in here?
Yeah.
What time?
First thing in the morning.
First thing in the morning, be here. Okay, I think we've only got a couple of minutes left, so I'm going to give away these two prizes. And first off, I'm going to give this conference ticket to the gentleman in the vest over here for asking those difficult questions. Thank you. And this is difficult. This is for you, sir. So thank you very much for those questions.
Thank you.
All right, well, thank you very much, everyone. And if you have any other questions, please feel free to come up. Or alternatively, my contact details are there. Feel free to grab me at any time during the conference. Come and have a chat. I'd be happy to answer your questions or try to answer some of the questions. So thank you very much.